take your Bibles, turn to us to the book of Philippians, second chapter of the book of Philippians. And please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, second chapter of the book of Philippians. We'll start reading at verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for the wonderful, precious Word of God. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for the promise of heaven, Father, and all the precious, wonderful promises you have in your Bible, your Word. Thank you for them. Tonight, once again, Lord, this preacher needs your help, needs your power, needs your wisdom. And Lord, I ask it of you. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing tonight. God, do that in each and every heart that needs to be done tonight. And we'll not forget to honor you with it and praise you for it. And Lord, give you the glory and the honor for it. We'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I've entitled my message tonight simply, Work It Out. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation, and we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. But I want to take a few moments and look, because right before this, and we'll read it in just a moment, right before this, in chapter 2, God gave us a wonderful, wonderful illustration of someone who sets an example for us. And that illustration is the Lord Jesus Christ, who set an example for us. And we'll read that in just a few moments. So I want to talk about example for a few moments. That's really not the message, but I want to stress this first of all before I make some of my statements that I'm going to make concerning being an example. And first of all, there's no doubt whatsoever about the importance of being a good example. I mean, I think you can go through the Word of God, you can go through your lives and find people who have been good examples to you, for you, and that's meant so much. There's no doubt about that. Some of you, you know, some of us can look back at teachers and just people as neighbors and people, you know, you grew up with and things that was a good example for you. And you appreciate that. And so there's no doubt whatsoever the importance of being a good example. That's very important. It's important for a man to set a good example on how to be a good husband. Especially when he has sons, he wants to set a good example on to his son. Well, what does it mean to be a good husband? And we can talk and talk, but a good example is very important for us to do that. It's important for our sons that we teach them by example on how to be a good daddy. Amen. I mean, we need to set an example, not just to our sons, but to our daughters, on how to be a good daddy. That's important that we set examples. On the other side of that, it's very, very important for a wife to set an example for her daughters on what's it mean to be a good wife. Because one of these days, more than likely, most of the young ladies are going to be a wife. Now, they need to know what it means to be a good wife. They need to know how to do it. And one of the greatest ways in the world to do that is by setting a good example of being a good wife. Same thing with being a good mother. How are they going to know what it means to be a good mother? Well, we know the Word of God tells us about those things. But how important it is that our young people grow up and our young ladies grow up and saying, you know what, my mom mama was a good mama, and I had a good example to follow. Now, we're going to find out. That doesn't mean always those will be followed, but it is important, amen, to set a good example to folk, and especially to our family members. And so it's important that we do that. It's important that a brother sets a good example for his brothers and his sisters. On what's it mean to be a brother? What's it mean to be a sister? It's very, very important that we set those kind of a good examples for those younger ones. That's very, very important. You see, because basically the younger ones look up to the older brother, sister, whatever it may be, and they look at them, and they look to them for examples. And to much degree, they're going to do as they do. Now, that doesn't mean they have to be just like them, but they're going to look and find those examples in their life, and they're going to look at that, and that's basically what they're going to determine. That's what a good brother is. Or that's what a good sister is, you see. So it's very, very important that we set those good examples. It's very important that we set good examples for our peers. Now, we know that young people talk about peers, those that are the same age as them and growing up with them. But, you know, we adults have peers too. And it's good, right, proper for us to set good examples for those who are around us. Amen? I mean, we ought to set good examples for them. Whether we're at work, whether we're at home, regardless whether we're wherever we are, it's a proper right thing to set good examples. I mean, I think you agree with that. I don't think you found anything that I've said already that is wrong. I think you agree that it is right and good and proper to set a good example for other folk, you see. I believe that at church. I believe when we come to church, we ought to set a good example. Don't you? I mean, I believe we ought to do that. It's important how we behave ourselves at church. Very, very important how we act and what we do at church. It's very, very important because we're setting examples for those coming up behind us on knowing how to act and what to do at church, you know, and how to behave ourselves and the right kind of spirit that we ought to have in church service. You see, that's important that we do that. I think it's important that our Sunday school teachers set good example for their students. Amen. I mean, I don't think anybody in here would want a Sunday school teacher that didn't set a good example for those whom they're teaching. Amen. I mean, that's just proper. That's right. That goes along with the responsibility of teaching Sunday school or whatever ministry it might be in our church where you're dealing with other people. It's important that you set an example, you see, before them. You wouldn't want an unfaithful Sunday school teacher. I mean, you wouldn't want a Sunday school teacher that very seldom come to church. I mean, you know, maybe come teach Sunday school and go home morning services. I mean, I don't think any of us would go for that. Amen. That wouldn't be good. That's a terrible example. If we expect our young people to be faithful and we preach to them, we teach to them, we say, now, you ought to be in Sunday school every Sunday. Well, we ought to be in Sunday school every Sunday. Amen. Okay, I thought maybe you'd got deaf on me there. I thought my voice had went too. I wasn't sure. But anyway, I mean, isn't that true? I mean, we would want that. That's the way it should be. We've got to set an example of being the right kind of an individual. If we're going to tell them and teach them to do that, then that's what we've got to do. Amen. Sure. I mean, you know, that's just plain old truth. A bus worker that would go out on his bus route and knock on a door and get kids to come to Sunday school, which ours do, and they do a great job of it, you know. And then that bus kid decided sometime he'd just come Sunday night to church or Wednesday night to church, and he couldn't find the bus worker. That'd be no good. Amen. I mean, that'd be foolishness. That'd be silly. You know, my goodness sakes, you know, because why? We're teaching them faithfulness, you see, in every area of their lives. So these are, it's just a truth that they need to be a good example. We'll just go on. I'll get to the preacher here in a minute. Deacons, it's right for a deacon to be a good example. As a deacon, it's right for him to set a good example. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. God would have us to do that. Amen? To set an example of being a good deacon. Same thing with the preacher. Preacher ought to set a good example. You wouldn't want a preacher that didn't show up for church very much. You wouldn't want a preacher to do that. You see, no. You know, preacher's supposed to set a good example. He's supposed to go out in this as he lives out in the world. He's supposed to set a good example and be honest in his dealings and all of those kind of things. Because why? He's setting an example for those around him. Amen. So we're living in a time when everything is just kind of the best you can do and get by the least you can situation. I don't believe in that principle. I believe we're to be the very best that we can be at whatever it is God has given us to be. You know, amen? I mean, don't you think that? I mean, you know, if we're going to be a Sunday school teacher, I believe we ought to be the best Sunday school teacher we can be. If we're going to be a preacher, I think we can be the best preacher that we can be. Amen? That we can be. That's what I'm saying. That we can be. I think a deacon ought to be the best deacon he can be. No halfway stuff. Amen? No matter what it is we're talking about here, no halfway stuff. No part, you know, just go a little ways. Well, we'll just do the best we can. No, that's what's happened in America. That's our problem now. In America, no, we're supposed to be what God would want us to be, amen? And we're to set a good example. Now, I've said all that to kind of just get to this. It's right to set a good example, and I believe we ought to do that. And a good example, we look at someone and we see a good example, certainly can inspire me to do right. By looking at other folk, and it can inspire me to say, you know, they're living it, they're doing right, and I ought to be encouraged by that, and they're setting a good example for us. But being a good example, or looking at a good example, does not enable us to do what we're supposed to do. Now you listen with me, stick with me a minute. Just because someone is a good example to us in life, we still make the choice. And boy, I stress that all the time. We stress that in our youth. We stress that in our Sunday school, and we stress that in our school and all of this. It still boils down to choices of life. You may have had the greatest examples in all of your life, had multitudes of people who give you a great example, but it is not, the example is not what enables you to be what you ought to be. Jesus Christ is the greatest example there is. And he gives us an examples of him being that example, you see. But it takes more than an example from outside. It takes power from within to do what we're supposed to do. Determination. Choices, and of course the power of God to help us carry that out. Why is it some Christians see good examples all their life and still do not live the Christian life as they should live it? It's because there's a determination in them somewhere that just because they saw a good example, it hasn't been enough to empower them or give them the power to do that which they should do. They've chose not to do that. Now, Paul, and I'm going to read it over, Paul had just given us one of the sweet, great examples of the Lord Jesus Christ in this portion of Scripture. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 of chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now he gives them instructions, and then he says this. The reason Paul is saying, I can tell you this, and I can give you these instructions, because we've had one go before us who did that. In verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, he says to us here that Jesus Christ has already set the example before us. Over in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, he says this, for even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. he says, that ye should follow his steps. And he says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And if you finish those and read those scriptures after that, you'll find out he gives us different things that Jesus did as an example for us. So there's no doubt whatsoever that Jesus Christ set the example for us. No doubt about that. And we have the greatest example there ever was. But just the fact of Jesus Christ being an example is not what saved your soul. Jesus didn't come just to be an example. That's not what saved your soul. Him coming to die on the cross of Calvary, that's what paid the cost of eternal life for us. That's how you got saved. Same thing here when he talks about the example of the Christian life. Now, he's given us the greatest example, what we should be. And his was a perfect example. You know that because he's perfect. His was a perfect example. But he's saying to us, it's not just a matter of the example that he is, but you've got to have the power of God in your life. In other words, you've got to let Christ live through your life to fulfill that example that Jesus has already fulfilled. You and I cannot do it on our own. So here's what he says in verse number 13. In verse 12, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And he says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, folks, you know, God tells us to work out our salvation. You say, Brother Ross, is he telling us that we ought to work for our salvation? I think if you've been around the scripture, you know better than that. God is not saying to work for your salvation. But he says, let it work out in your life. In other words, work it out. You know, I've said this many times, and I believe it's true, but even in husband-wife relationships, you've got to work out your relationship. Every two people just has to work out their relationship. But you do it based on the principles of the Bible. You don't do it aside from the Word of God. But you work out your own relationship. And that's the way it should be. Every individual does that. Well, to some degree, it's like that with our relationship with God. You work out your relationship with God, but at the same time, you never do it contrary to the Bible. You know, the reason I'm saying that is because every single one of you out there is different. You're not the same. We're all different. And God works in us, though, and we work out that salvation in our life and our relationship with God based upon the principles of the Bible. And I guess I'm saying this basically because I don't want you to think because you're not like somebody else that you're just no good. You're unuseful. That's not true. Amen? You see, it's not a matter of just imitating Christ. It's a matter of letting Christ live through us. It's just not trying to imitate somebody. It's letting Jesus work. Because that's why he said in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God working in you and I. It's God dealing with us and working things out in our life. So certainly he's not saying that we should work for our salvation. No, no. In fact, at the beginning of this book, he called us saints. We're saints already. And now he's dealing with those saints. He's dealing with those children of God. And he's telling us how we ought to let work this out in our life, you see. What does it mean to work out your own salvation? It means to work it to its full completion. You know, if you had a math problem, let's use a math problem as an illustration. I'm going to get an easy one, okay, you youngsters, so that the preacher can be sure and get it here. Let's take 20 times 20, amen? 20 times 20, is that simple? You've already got the answer, don't you? But you go up here and you take a 0 times 0. Then you take a 0 times 2. Then you take 2 times 0. Now, if you stop there, you got an answer of 0. Amen? Now, ain't that good? You're 0. Amen? But you haven't finished the problem yet. You didn't take 2 times 2. And when you take 2 times 2, you put a 4 in front of those zeros, and you got 400. Now, that makes sense, don't it? Well, what God is telling us is, work out your salvation to its fullness, its completeness. Get all of it out. Everything that God wanted you to do, be that. It's kind of like mining a gold mine. You don't want to just go in there and take a little bit of the gold out and leave it. A person who would be mining a gold mine goes in there and takes everything he can get out of it. All the ore he can possibly get. That's what God is saying to you in your salvation. Work it all out. It'd be like a farmer farming, and he goes out and he plants half a field. He goes out again, gets ready for harvest, and he only harvests half of it. Folks, that's not what a farmer does. A farmer goes out there and finds every little space he can plant some grass, some corn or whatever it might be in. I mean, he finds it all. He clears land if he has to. And he plants it, and when it comes time for harvest, he goes out there and harvests every bit of it. Amen? Sure you do. God said, do the same thing in your salvation. Work it out. Do everything that God has made for you to do and to be. Don't just be satisfied with just a partial thing when it comes to this Christian life. Be useful. And let God do whatever it is he wants to do in your life for the glory of God, you see. Work out your own salvation. You know, there's all kinds of problems in life, and God wants to help us in those problems. God wants to help us solve those problems. And there's a potential in every single life, every single person here, God's children. There's a great potential in you. You may not understand that. You may just think preacher just talking, but no. There's a great potential in you. There's so much that God wants to do through your life. Amen? And he will do that. He wants to do that. But you got to let him work in you. And you got to let him do it. You see, don't stop short. Don't put up a stop sign. Don't quit. Amen. Let him use you to the glory of God. Listen, they tell us there's no two flowers the same. There's no two snowflakes the same. But when I go out and look at snow, and I just say it's snowing. I don't usually analyze the snowflakes. It's snowing. All I see is snowflakes. And I look out and I say, boy, it's snowing. They're big flakes or little flakes or whatever they are. But we are told that no snowflakes are the same. That's amazing. Reason I'm saying that, you know what? Christians ought to be Christians. They ought to look like Christians. They ought to act like Christians. But folks, there's no two Christians alike. But the principles of the Bible, the Word of God, is ought to what determine what we are. Amen? You can't just go off here and say, well, I'll just do it my way thing. No. The Bible is the guide. You can't just use that excuse. Well, I'm just different than everybody else. You are different than everybody else. But you and I must still use the principles of the Bible. Amen? And that's what God wants. Yes, we're different. We certainly are. But you don't want to be a cheap imitation of somebody. You don't want to walk around. Listen, I've had so many people in my life that's been a blessing to me in my life. I'm serious about that. Has helped me along the road. My goodness sakes alive, you know. But I don't want to be them. I don't want to say, well, I want to be like so-and-so. No, I want to be like Jesus. And that's the goal that I would have. If you got a goal, have the goal of Jesus. You want to be like somebody. But certainly people set us examples. They're a blessing to us and all of those things. But we're different. We can't be them. We can't. And you can't either. You don't want to look around and hunt somebody and say, well, I wish we had a preacher like so-and-so. Well, you need to move to that city and go to his church. Because you're no other preacher like that anywhere in the world. Amen? And there's not going to be, because all of us are different. I mean, seriously, I'm serious about that, you see. No, we're all different, you see. And we certainly can learn from each other and all of those kind of things. But I'm simply saying to you, let God work out in you who you are based upon the principles of the Word of God. Let him work it out in you. But don't put up a stop sign and say no for their God. And that's what multitudes do. If I can't do this, I'm just going to not do this. No, no, no. Let go. Oh, the potential is there. Oh, my, my. If we just understand what God could do through each and every one of us, it's amazing. What God wants to do through you and me and every single person, even right here in this church, what God could do if we'd just let Him have us, what God could do would just be amazing. Amen? So I'm saying to you, that's what we need to do, you see. We need to follow the same principles, but we need to just let God work in us and work it out. Amen? So there's a lot of the very basics of the Word of God. You say, Brother Ross, well, I don't read my Bible, so it's all right, that's just the way I am. No, that's a basic of truth of the Word of God. You're to read your Bible. You see, don't play that game. You're to read your Bible. You're to study the Word of God because God said we're to do that. Amen? So we're to study the Word of God. So we can't do that. You see, that's just very basics. You say, well, I don't pray much, so, you know, that's just the way I am. No, 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 that's against the Scripture. God tells us to pray without ceasing. God says to pray. You see what God tells us to do? So, you see, we must follow the basics. Must follow the basics of what God says and then let Him develop them through us. You say, well, I just can't witness. No, wait a minute. That's untrue. God has commanded all of us to witness. Amen? So, you know, follow the basics. Do what is right. Amen? You see what I'm saying? You see, now, you'll witness who you are. You see, you'll be different than I or somebody else. But it'll be the same principles used. You'll be giving the same message no matter how you give it. Amen? Because you're you. And what God is saying to us is just let that work out in our life. Just let God work it out. He's the one doing it. It's God which worketh in you to both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's trying to make you what He wants you to be. Amen? But the problem comes when we set up this stop sign and say, I'm just not going to let God do that. Now, you don't say that literally, but that's what we do. We put up this stop sign. We're just not going to let God do it. Well, God wants to work through you, folks. Amen. Every single one of us, you see. That's why Paul said over in Corinthians, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. He understood the principle. He understood that Paul was different. He said, I'm not saying I want everybody clone like Paul. That was not what he was saying. He was saying, as I follow Christ, I want you to follow Christ. So I walk with Christ. As I do the things Christ would have me to do, I want you to do that, but I want you to do it the way you're made, who you are. Amen? That's what he was saying, you see. See, every saint that I've ever met, every child of God I've ever met, has feet of clay. I don't know any that's angels yet. Amen? I mean, we are human beings, are we not? And we will be till the day we die. Amen? So we've all got these little things about us that God is trying to work out and work in us and all these things. And my, my, how we can be helped by those around us. Sometimes give instructions to us. Sometimes bring something up in our life. And we say, boy, God's dealing with me about that and I need to change this area of my life. There's things in everybody's life that needs to be changed because they need to be more like what God would have us to be. But at the same time, don't try to be an imitation of somebody else. Amen. Just be you. Christ working through you. Amen. Because that's how God made you. That's what He made you for. Then in verse number 14, He says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now this is the whole purpose of it. He says you do these things, the things you do and the way you are and how God works in you. He said you do them without murmuring and disputing. Amen? Murmuring and disputing. Murmuring, when somebody murmurs, that's baby talk. Murmur. Did you ever, that's a baby talking. Murmur. So when we murmur, we're babies. Amen. Get a big old thumb stuck in your mouth. You ought to walk around with a thumb in your mouth when you're murmuring and say, I'm a baby. We ought to get a great big pacifier for you, and we'll stick it in your mouth and say, now you suck on that for a while as you murmur and you act like a baby. Amen. We're not to do that. God says we're not to do it. Now listen, all of you now that's hurt and all downtrodden right now and say, you know, well, God was the one who said that we're to do all things without murmuring and disputings. Now, did God say it? Well, do you suppose he meant it? Amen. Amen. Sure, God meant it. That's how he said to do it. We're to be lights for this old world, you see. And God, working through us, will work out in us that salvation, not the borning again salvation, but the salvation that we have already in us. God will work that out in our life, and we're to do it without murmuring and disputing. Amen. And so he says, what are we to do then? He says in verse number 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So again, God is just telling us to work it out. You see, he has to work in us before he can work through us. Understand this principle. Moses, God worked in Moses for 80 years before he could work through him for 40 years. God worked in David as a young man, preparing him for the kingship, working in him before he could ever work through him. And if we do not allow, as he said there in verse 13, we do not allow God to work in us, He's limited on how he can work through us. Amen. Get a hold of that. You see, we limit what God can do in our lives. We just put limitations on it. So again, I'm saying to you folks, listen up. Let God work through you. Now, to do that, he's going to have to work in you. Amen. He's going to have to do some marvelous things in your life so that he then can use you. You know, what God is looking for is a willingness on the inside instead of having to put pressure on us from the outside. He just wants you and I to be willing to do what he wants without having to put the pressure from the outside on us to do that. He's looking for hearts that just says, okay, God, whatever you want. Amen. And folks, if not, there'll be pressure put on from the outside to do his will. Now, you better listen to your preacher. Better just listen up. What I'm saying to you is, you don't want God to bring that pressure from the outside. Many times we'll look around and say, why did this happen? And why is God doing this in my life? And why is God doing that? Might have been if we just listened, maybe he wouldn't have had to put the pressure on from the outside. If we'd have been willing on the inside, like we should have, he may have not had to put the pressure from the outside. Are you hearing me? You see, God is looking for people. He's already said he works in them, but he wants to work in them so he can work through them. Amen? So we need to just be willing to do that. If you notice, in that scripture also, we find that Paul talked about here, he said that they done these things. In verse number 12, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Notice over in verse number 27 of chapter number 1, he said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul said, whether I'm there or not, obey. Obey the word of God. You know, he's looking for people who just obey. You know, in all seriousness, and I guess to some degree, maybe I'm kind of picking on the young people because maybe that's the way we are when we're younger, but we shouldn't be. You know, if young people do things when people are not around that they ought not to do, that shows what's down here. But that's also true for we adults. Amen? Ought not to be a pressure on us to have to do right. When I, you know, it's amazing because I'll see people just clam up. Now I'm talking about, you know, like in our school, they'll clam up if I come around. Like, what have they been talking about? You know, if they just do right, they wouldn't have to clam up. Amen? They wouldn't have to. You see, God's saying here, and that's what Paul's saying, just obey. Do right whether anybody's around or not. Amen? And then you don't have to worry about it. You see, that's the kind of folk that God is looking for. And to get those kind of folk, he's going to work in you to produce that so that he then can work through you. What does God use to get that job done? Well, one of the things he uses is the Word of God. Just like tonight, he's bringing the Word of God to you to help us. Amen. And it'll work through us. God's Word is a marvelous tool. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful, powerful thing. And God's Word will work in us and do marvelous things in our life if we let him do that. But not only that, he not only uses that, but he uses our communication with him. He uses prayer. Folks, God can never work in us like he wants to work in us unless there's a prayer relationship between us and him. Because he's got to work in us so he can work through us. And not only that, I want you to listen to me. The other way that God deals with us and helps us and works in us is through suffering. God brings the suffering of trials to burn away the dross that prepares us to serve him. Suffering is a part of the Christian life. If you do not have somewhat suffering, you will have. I don't know what kind, but you will have. Because that's a part of the Christian life. It's the way God deals with his servants and burns away dross and prepares them and refines them. Thank God he does that. Don't be mad at God when he puts you in the refining fire. He's doing a great work with you. You look back down through the scriptures and you'll find that God never tried Lot like he tried Abraham. He took Abraham up on the mountain and said, "Now slay your son, your only son." You know why he did that to Abraham? Because Abraham was walking with God and following God. And he was trying him and building him and building his faith. But you don't ever see him doing that to Lot. Lot had already messed up. Lot was not building in his faith. He didn't have to be tried. He'd already been tried and found wanting. But God takes his children and he builds them and he uses the Word of God to do that and he uses our prayer life to do that and our communication with him and he uses suffering to do that. So don't be discouraged when God brings suffering, no matter what kind it may be. It may be mental suffering, maybe tragedies, it may be physical, it may be all kinds of things, but God is trying us and building us and refining us. He's building our faith and trust in him. Amen? And that's a good and that's a proper and that's a right thing for God to do. See, God has a plan for your life and mine. Every single individual out here. God has a wonderful plan for you. And do you know also he has the power to fulfill that plan? He has the Holy Spirit of God living in us, the power to be able to do whatever God asks us to do in his plan for our life. You see, he has a purpose. We think life a lot of times is just, okay, you get up one day, you do something. But God has a purpose, a plan for every single life in this room. He has got something he wants you to be and something he wants you to do for him. And the only way he can get that accomplished is if he works through you, in you, so that he can work through you. That's the way God works, you see. And because of that, you'll find that there's joy comes into your life. You see, when we submit ourselves to the plan of God, for the will of God for our life, there's a joy that just passes all understanding. You know, reason, in all seriousness, I believe one of the basic reasons there's not much joy in the Christian life is because there's not much submission in the Christian life. There'll be more joy in the Christian life. That's what Paul was talking about there in verse number 17. He said, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." And then he says, "For the same cause also ye do joy and rejoice with me." You see, if we are submissive to God working in us to do of his good pleasure, not your or my good pleasure. Verse 12. He's not trying to work something out for your benefit. It will work to our benefit, but he's working it out for his benefit, to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. So I say to you, there's not much joy because of there's very little submission. I could take you down through every single thing in relationships. I could take you through children and parents and tell you a submissive child is a more joyful child. Oh, absolutely. You take a child that's submissive to his parents and to the obedience of his parents and to those who are over him, and you'll find a joyful child. You'll find the same thing with a wife. A lot of times why there's such misery between relationships between husband and wife is because a wife is not submissive as she was instructed to be to her own husband. You find a submissive wife, and you will find a joyful wife. You'll find the same thing with a husband. You find a husband that goes to work and is submissive to those who God has put over him, in authority over him, you'll find a joyful worker. You'll find a joyful man. You'll find a man who has submitted himself to God Almighty, who is his head, and you'll find a man who has joy in his life. But you find those who respond and rebel against that, and you'll find no joy in their life. You'll find rebellion. You'll find people in misery instead of people with joy in their life. So I'm simply saying to you, the Lord Jesus had joy because he submitted himself to the wonderful will of his heavenly Father. Amen. And he did so in joy. So God would have you to do those things in joy. You can be a better member of a church when you submit yourselves to those in authority that God has placed over you. You can have joy in serving Jesus Christ. As long as you rebel against that, you're not going to have joy. No, you won't have joy. No, you just won't have it. You'll do without it. See, now that's true in all of those relationships that I've just talked to you about. See, God wants us to submit, you see, and there's joy that comes through submission. So God works in us, and he wants to work it out. Amen. So he can work through us. And the example he gave us was the Lord Jesus Christ. What an example. What a perfect, exact example. He is our example. And of course, the power of the Holy Spirit of God is there to help us and to see to it that we can do and be what Jesus Christ was and wants us to be. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit of God, they're not in your own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit of God that comes into your life and empowers you to do that, and the result will be a joyful Christian life. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you for the wonderful Word of God. Thanking you for your goodness and kindness. Once again, Lord, we thank you for who you are and the great example, Lord, that you set for us. Lord, you've also given us the power within us to follow that example. God, it's choice that we make whether we desire to do that or whether we determine to do that or not. My prayer is that each and every one of us will determine in our hearts, Lord, that we want to be like you. No matter what that takes in our life, we just want to be like you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.